Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we're going on a bit of an adventure.
Oh.
Yeah, we're heading into the world of moths.
Okay.
But not just any moths.
Right.
These moths are on the move.
On the move.
Yeah, they're expanding their ranges in southeastern Sweden.
Interesting.
And what's really cool is we're diving into this massive 16-year study.
Wow, 16 years. That's impressive.
Yeah, and it tracked 107 different moth species.
107.
Uh-huh. And over 25,000 individual moths.
That is a lot of moths.
It is a lot of moths.
So much data.
Yeah, and it really gives us a good look
at
how populations change and adapt, especially with all the environmental shifts happening these days.
Yeah, long-term ecological studies like this one are so valuable.
Absolutely.
They give us like a real window into how things are changing out there.
Exactly, and you get the full picture.
Yeah.
So tell me, where in Sweden was all this moth action happening?
Well, the study focused on three specific sites in southeastern Sweden, all using light traps to catch the moths.
Light traps?
Yeah, they're a really effective way to sample moth populations.
Interesting.
And these spots are strategically located, you know, to catch those adventurous moths heading north from continental Europe.
Oh, really?
Or even from further south in Sweden.
Makes sense. So we've got the location. We've got this epic time scale.
Mm-hmm.
But why moths? Why should we care about these little guys flitting about in Sweden?
You might heard a lot about insect decline lately.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
It is a major concern.
Yeah.
But what's so fascinating about these moths is that they're actually doing the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, they're thriving.
Wow.
The study found that both the number of species and the sheer number of moths increased significantly over those 16 years.
So while other insects are struggling, these moths are having a population boom.
Exactly. It's quite remarkable.
What's their secret?
Well, one of the biggest factors seems to be temperature.
Okay.
The warmer the year, the more moths they found.
Oh.
And the faster their populations grew.
Warmer weather probably makes things pretty comfortable for a moth.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption.
Does that mean they're developing faster, too?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Warmer temperatures could help them survive longer as adults,
right.
Give them more time to reproduce.
Makes sense.
And it could speed up how quickly the larvae grow and develop, boost their metabolism and survival rates. It's like climate change is giving them a head start.
Interesting. I'm curious, though, if these moths are booming, does that mean their predators are doing well, too?
That's a great question.
Or are they lagging behind?
Well, the study didn't focus specifically on predators.
Okay.
But it does make you think about those ripple effects.
Yeah.
You know how these population changes could affect the whole food web?
Exactly.
If moth numbers are up, you'd expect their predators to benefit as well.
Right.
At least in the short term.
Okay.
But it also raises questions about competition with native insects and the overall balance of the ecosystem.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that some of these moths are actually putting down roots in Sweden.
That's right.
Instead of just migrating through.
Mm-hmm.
What's prompting that kind of lifestyle change?
As the climate in southeastern Sweden continues to warm, it's becoming more and more suitable for these moths.
Right. So they're liking the new environment.
Yeah. It's like they're finding this new neighborhood that they really like.
Yeah.
The climate's just right and there's plenty of food.
Okay. So the climate's appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the food? Don't moths need specific plants?
You're right, they do.
For their larvae to munch on?
Yeah, and it turns out the plants these moths depend on are also shifting their ranges northward.
Mm.
Although not as quickly as the moths.
Oh, so the moths are getting ahead of their food source.
In some cases, yeah.
Interesting.
So the moths are arriving in new areas, and their favorite food is already waiting for them.
Wow, so it sounds like everything's coming up moths in Sweden.
It does seem that way.
But I have a feeling there might be another side to this story.
Oh.
Right.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, there has to be some potential downsides to all this moth movement.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
Okay, good.
There are always two sides to every story.
Right, exactly. And one of those downsides has to be their potential to become pests.
Oh, absolutely. With these moths on the move, it's definitely a concern.
Yeah. Among those 107 moth species studied, how many are known to cause trouble for farmers and gardeners?
Quite a few, actually. It's a significant portion.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
Which species should we be worried about?
One that really stands out is Euproctis chrysorrhea.
Euproctis chrysorrhea?
Yeah, it's a real troublemaker. It can cause a lot of damage in orchards.
Oh, no.
And there are signs it might be settling in the study region.
Not good. So fruit trees are in danger.
Potentially, yeah. And another one to watch out for is Heliothis
Okay, Heliothis armigera, what's its deal?
This one's a real generalist when it comes to crops.
Meaning,
It can
yeah.
munch on a wide variety.
Oh, so a real threat to agriculture.
Yeah, it's been popping up more and more in recent years.
So are researchers keeping an eye on it?
Oh, definitely, it's on the radar.
So we've got moths that love fruit trees, moths that go after all sorts of crops. Any others we should know about?
Yeah, the study also flagged a number of other pest species. Some that are particularly fond of sugar beets, beans, even alfalfa.
Really? Alfalfa too.
Yep, it's a pretty diverse group, these moths.
It sounds like a potential agricultural nightmare. Are they actually causing any significant damage yet?
Well, that's the thing. Some of these species have already made themselves at home in the region,
Okay.
but they haven't caused any major problems yet.
Okay, that's slightly reassuring.
And not all of the pest species identified in the study are expected to establish themselves anytime soon.
So it's a wait and see situation.
Yeah, pretty much we need to be vigilant about monitoring these populations
Right.
and really understanding how they might impact agriculture in the future.
Absolutely. But this brings up another interesting finding from the study.
Oh.
It seems the longer a moth species has been living in a new area, the slower its population growth tends to be.
That's right. It's a fascinating pattern.
So they're like the new kids on the block, making a big splash when they first arrive, but then things settle down.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Why would that happen?
Well, one possible explanation is the enemy release hypothesis.
The enemy release hypothesis.
Yeah, imagine you're a moth.
Okay, I'm a moth.
You arrive in this brand new place with none of the predators or parasites that used to keep your population in check.
Oh, so it's like a free-for-all.
Exactly, it's like a moth party.
But then what happens? Do their enemies eventually catch up?
Eventually, yeah, over time, those natural enemies might figure out where the moths have gone and start to establish themselves in the new area as well.
To crash the moth party.
Right, and that can help bring the moth populations back into balance.
Makes sense. Of course, there could be other factors at play too.
Whoa, definitely.
Right.
Resource limitation as the population grows. It's likely a combination of things.
This whole story is fascinating. These tiny creatures can have a huge impact on the environment.
They really can. It's amazing.
You're like little ecosystem engineers.
Yeah.
What are some of the bigger implications of these shifting moth populations?
Well, one area where they could have a big influence is pollination.
Pollination.
Yeah, lots of moth species are important pollinators, especially for plants that bloom at night.
Oh, right. They're like the night shift of the pollinator world.
Exactly. So, as these moth populations change and move around, it could affect how well certain plants are pollinated.
Some plants might benefit from having more moth pollinators around,
That's right.
while others might struggle if their usual moth partners are missing.
Yeah, it all ties into this intricate web of interactions within an ecosystem.
It's not just about plants, is it? Moths are a food source for lots of other animals, too.
They're a key part of the food chain.
So changes in their populations can have ripple effects,
Absolutely.
affecting everything from birds and bats to other insects.
Right, it's a cascading effect.
So how does all of this moth research actually help us? What can we do with this knowledge?
That's a crucial point. By studying these moths, especially over long periods,
Right.
we get a better understanding of how climate change is affecting our ecosystems.
Okay.
And that knowledge can help us predict potential risks
Yeah.
and develop strategies to protect vulnerable species.
It's about making informed decisions about how we manage our natural resources.
Exactly. It's all about being proactive.
So it's like having a window into the future of our forests and fields.
I like that analogy.
Speaking of forests and fields, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that really caught my eye in this study.
Okay.
The incredible variety of colors and patterns we see in moths.
Ah, yes, their coloration is quite remarkable.
You've got everything from drab browns and grays to bright yellows and pinks.
A whole spectrum.
What role does coloration play in all of this?
Well, it's not just about looking pretty.
So there's more to it than just fashion.
Yeah, it's also about survival, especially as they move into these new environments.
So tell me more about how their colors can help them adapt.
Well, think about camouflage.
Okay.
You know, moths that blend in with their surroundings, they're less likely to become a bird's dinner.
Right. They're hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, it's a classic evolutionary strategy.
Like wearing camo gear in a forest, you just disappear.
Exactly.
But what about those moths that are super brightly colored?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like they're practically begging to be eaten.
Sometimes those bright colors are actually a warning sign.
A warning sign.
Yeah, like a neon billboard.
What do you mean?
Like saying, danger, do not eat.
Oh, see.
Those moths often have toxins that make them taste terrible.
Yeah.
Or they could even be poisonous to predators.
So their bright colors are like a defense mechanism.
Exactly. Predators learn to avoid them.
So it's a risky strategy.
It is.
But it can pay off big time if it works.
Right.
Are there any other ways that color comes into play as these moths expand their ranges?
This is where things get really interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
You can actually have variations in color within the same species.
I didn't know that.
So imagine a moth that's moving into a new area with a different background color.
Mm-hmm.
Like from a dark forest to a lighter grassy field.
Okay.
Those moths with colors that blend in better with the new environment, they're more likely to survive and reproduce.
So it's like natural selection is playing a role in what colors become more common.
Exactly.
As the moths move into new areas.
Over time, you might see a shift in the overall color patterns of the moth population.
Simply because those with the best camouflage are passing on their genes.
That's the idea.
This has been fascinating.
It has been a cool deep dive.
We started out talking about these moths on the move.
Mm-hmm.
Their populations are booming and the potential for them to become pests.
Right. And we even talked about...
How they fit into the bigger picture of pollination and food webs.
Yeah, it's all connected.
And now we're seeing how something as seemingly simple as color can play such a crucial role
in their survival.
This whole deep dive has just shown how adaptable and complex these creatures really are.
I agree. And it reminds us that there's always more to discover about the natural world.
Yeah, even in something as familiar as a moth.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people underestimate moths.
I think you're right.
They see them as these drab nocturnal creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more than that.
Absolutely.
They're key players in our ecosystems, and their response to climate change can really teach us a lot about how the world around us is changing.
It's like they're giving us clues.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a question to ponder.
Okay.
As these moth populations continue to shift and change, how will they shape the future of our forests and fields?
That is a great question.
Will they become valuable allies in pollination? Or will they emerge as formidable pests?
Only time will tell.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
But by studying these fascinating creatures, we can learn to better understand and manage the delicate balance of our ecosystems.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of moths on the move.